Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Liz Cheney has been defeated. What does it mean to dethrone a political dynasty? We talk about the taking out of an oligarchy, how rare it is, and what the lessons from this are. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or a college chapter today at Turning Point USA. We are on the front lines defeating tyranny and advancing freedom. tpusa.com. We could use your help and your support. That is tpusa.com. Join our education movement across the country at tpusa.com. You guys can support our political arm, our 501c4 organization, Turning Point Action, at tpaction.com. As we're getting heated up for the midterms, as always, email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com. The wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Liz Cheney has been defeated. Liz Cheney didn't just lose in Wyoming, everybody. No. Liz Cheney lost in a humiliating mass rejection, losing every county except one in Wyoming last night. Liz Cheney received 28.9% of the vote, or 49,316 votes. Harriet Hageman received 113,025 votes, or 66.3% of the vote. A mass rejection. You see, Liz Cheney ran a different type of a campaign. It seemed as if Liz Cheney was running not to try to win over votes, not to try to win over, you know, constituents. Instead, it seemed as if Liz Cheney was trying to pander and win over corporate campaign donors. Liz Cheney, going into the election, was talking about, I don't care if I win or lose, regardless of the outcome, play cut 53.
What's at stake today, Congresswoman?
Well, look, I think today, no matter what the outcome is certainly the beginning of a battle that is going to continue and is going to go on. And as a country, we're facing very challenging and difficult times. We're facing a moment where our democracy really is under attack and under threat. And those of us across the board, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, who believe deeply in freedom and who care about the Constitution and the future of the country, I think have an obligation to put that above party.
Our democracy, what does that exactly mean? We're going to talk about that throughout the hour. What does our democracy mean? Our democracy is under attack. Our democracy is under attack. Now, we said yesterday, and we'll say again, we are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. Now, we have some elements of democratic representation. We could most appropriately be called a representative republic. But what do they mean by our democracy? When they talk about our democracy, they mean our uniparty. That's what they mean by democracy. They don't actually want representative democracy by the people. That's what happened yesterday, Liz Cheney. How is our democracy under attack if we're actually using the word you say you're using? When you lose, let me get the final results here. Harriet Hageman, 66.3% of the vote. Liz Cheney, 28.9% of the vote. Now, I just have to say, for me, this is awfully delicious because the Cheney I have not liked the Cheneys since 2008, 2007. The illegal war in Iraq, the self-dealing to Halliburton, just the nonstop, relentless lying and cheating and just cutting of corners and the deceiving nature. They were one of the ruling families, similar to Game of Thrones, of the uniparty that runs Washington, D.C. You could call it Republicrats and Demokins. They seem to always agree on the things that matter the most and disagree on tax policy. What you saw yesterday was the end of a political dynasty. Now, Liz Cheney's talking about running for president and all this crazy stuff. We're going to talk about this hour. But no, this should give you hope. This should be a shot in the arm. Regardless of all the money, name ID, smugness, total media approval, the beautiful people of Wyoming rose up and said, I don't care. There is fight left in the American spirit. I would be down and somber if Liz Cheney, I don't know, even came within 5 points. This was a repudiation. When can you get 66% of people to agree on anything? Answer? Run Liz Cheney for something in Wyoming. Dog catcher, congressperson, governor. And Wyoming's going to say, get out of here and go represent your home state of Virginia. What is an election? An election is the continued thread. It is the fulfillment of the promise of the moral right to be governed by your consent. You don't like somebody, you could kick them out. Now, many of you watching right now are governed by people you can't stand. We have a lot of patriots watching in California. You got Gavin Newsom. We got people watching in Oregon. You got Kate Brown. We got people watching in New York. You got Kathy Hochul. However, at times, the people are able to rise up and say no more. You're able to have a referendum on a person, an idea, a pattern of behavior, a bill, a policy, and a family. You see, over the last couple decades, America has been ruled by dynasties, as if we're supposed to go back to the 13 and 1400s and destroy this idea of the consent of the governed, that if you are a son or a daughter, a wife or a spouse, somehow you have a right to rule that other people do not have. The founding fathers did not like monarchies. They hated oligarchies. This idea of dynasties was largely repulsive. Now, of course, there was John Adams and John Quincy Adams. There are some exceptions to that. But largely, Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Jay, they went out of their way to say that bloodlines should not be a prerogative to rule. They very well could have created the Washingtonian and Jeffersonian republics of Virginia or of Pennsylvania, but they resisted that. They wanted to try to give people power in a decentralized way, to give them the ability to rise up, to be able to vote their mind and put people in office that reflect their values. What happened yesterday was remarkable. The Cheney family has been running the Republican Party for the last couple decades. Dick Cheney, of course, was the vice president for George W. Bush for 8 years. He was one of the most hated people on the planet. If you think they hate Donald Trump, I'm going to read some of these headlines of how they used to treat Dick Cheney in 2003 and 2004. They hated Dick Cheney. This is when the media actually wasn't totally neoliberal, believe it or not. The media actually hated stupid foreign wars back then. They just hated Republicans largely because of social policy. How about this one right here? Dick Cheney in a wheelchair, Blofeld, Strangelove, or Potter? Tuesday's image of Dick Cheney in a wheelchair seems endlessly evocative, especially in terms of pop cultural touchstones. My first thought echoed, I later learned by my mother, was he was stroking a white cap in his cat in his lap that would have completed his transformation into a Bond villain. Or how about this one? Ed Schultz said, we need to rip out Dick Cheney's heart. This was how the media used to treat Dick Cheney. Play cut 69.
You damn right Dick Cheney's heart's a political football. We ought to rip it out and kick it around and stuff it back in him. I'm glad he didn't tip over. He is the new poster child for healthcare in this country. Do you realize that if you had 5 heart attacks, hell, you wouldn't get past 2 heart attacks and they'd dump you? But because you're a war criminal and because you are on the take from Halliburton and you had these executive meetings in 2001 back in, the days of the rolling blackouts and executive privilege on how we're going to develop energy policy in this country. You do stuff like that, hell, you can get the best health care on the face of the earth.
We need to rip his heart out. This is one example of how the media used to treat Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was the most vilified man. In fact, go watch the movie Vice. The movie Vice is an entire hit piece on Dick Cheney, on his Machiavellian instincts and his treacherous and deceitful behavior. The media hated Dick Cheney until Donald Trump came along. Until it became very clear that it's not about Donald Trump's personality. It's not about his alleged crimes. No, it's about what Donald Trump was a threat to. No, you see, Donald Trump was a threat and is still a threat to the neoliberal world order. The neoliberal world order is open borders, is one world government. It's depopulation. This is why they hate Elon Musk so much. When Elon Musk talks about increasing population, it's transhumanism. It's corporate dominance. It is dynastic intergenerational rule. You see, before Donald Trump came onto the scene, before Donald Trump started to change things up, it would just be the Cheneys and the Clintons changing power over and having a good sport at it. Do you remember the race we were supposed to have? The race we were supposed to have, that we were promised, the race that all Americans were bracing for, was a robust policy debate between Jeb Bush and Hillary Rodham Clinton. We were going to have the $100 million man, Jeb Bush, and Hillary Clinton disagree on how many troops we should send into Ukraine. Talk about how many nations they wanted to invade. Talk about how open they wanted the southern border to be. It was the rule of technocrats, but within the framework of, we can't challenge the big corporations. We can't talk about having more children. No, we must just have slight but yet fervent disagreements. They wanted a redux of the 2012 Mitt Romney election. When Donald Trump came onto the scene, they said it's all because of his personality and his, they call it bloviation and all of that. But it became more and more clear that he was an existential threat to the very framework that made them rich, that made them powerful, that made Washington, D.C. the wealthiest place in America and the surrounding counties, the kingdom of Washington, D.C. Yesterday, the wonderful people of Wyoming dethroned a political dynasty. There is fight left in the American people. They had every reason to go vote for Liz Cheney, except for the fact it would have been patently insane. More money for Cheney, name ID, the media loved her. But Wyoming still has that rugged cowboy Western spirit. Like, no, actually, we want a representative that is more focused on gas prices, the overreach of the federal government coming after our Western lands, fire management, wildlife management, the idea of inflation crushing everyday people in Wyoming. Those are much more important issues than the January 6th committee. But Liz Cheney remains defiant. Liz Cheney is now saying, despite losing by 38 points in her home state, by the way, she's thinking of running for president. Play cut 54.
Look, the former president said last night, you're now headed to political oblivion. You said this fight is just beginning. You've even launched a political organization already. So let's just be straight about it. Are you considering running for president yourself?
I will be doing whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office.
Well, I know you didn't say yes or no, and that's fine if you're thinking about it. But are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about running for president?
That's a decision that I'm going to make in the coming months, Savannah. I'm not going to make any announcements here this morning, but it is something that I'm thinking about.
With what constituency exactly? I mean, there's only, 15 votes you can get at NBC News, maybe a couple hundred with the K Street lobbyists. She loses her home state by 38 points, and she's contemplating a presidential run. And then the info babe on NBC News, what's her name? Whatever her name is, Infobabe, by the way, is a Rush Limbaugh term. So if you're offended by it, that's a, you could go. I was re-listening to Rush yesterday just because I missed him so much. And she says, oh, well, what are you thinking? Can I see your inner workings? Give me a break. And then all these people, they say, yeah, you know, we're supporting democracy. How exactly is it pro-democracy, which of course they mean pro-uniparty? How exactly is it pro-democracy by preventing somebody from becoming president? How does that one work? We're going to prevent you from having your voice. Oh, you mean you can't beat them at the ballot box because you lose by 38 points? No, they want to rig the system. They want to cut in line because they're afraid of you. They actually know that you outnumber them. Deep down, Liz Cheney gets deeply uncomfortable when she meets a welder. You're not as sophisticated as I am. I'm Liz Cheney. What do you work with your hands? Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money and the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, no bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. There is a cultural change happening in the Republican Party right now, and it is a very positive thing. It's going to be messy at times. We're going to have some candidates that aren't as precise as we would like them. That would probably be more passion than precision. That's okay. This is all healthy. This is a long-term winning equation. I always laugh when people message me and they say, oh, Charlie, I don't like this candidate. I say, just calm down. Okay, when you have a mass populist movement and you have to undo many decades of dynastic rule, you're going to have some wackadoodles here and there. It's part of the game. Okay, you're going to have some people that get a little too excited and they say stuff. That's not the point. The point is the moving average, is the movement going in the direction of things that matter? Is it becoming more like the parents' party or more like the politicians' party? Are we representing our voters in Wyoming or are we representing lobbyists in Washington, D.C.? Taking out an oligarchy is very rare and extremely laborious. It's very, very difficult. Now, Ron Klain, who is the White House chief of staff, goes on television and he says, I respect Liz Cheney's commitment to democracy instead of her commitment to one man. Do we have the full tape, though, of where he says, I think I disagree with her on everything? If we can get that. So Liz Cheney says in Cut 64, Liz Cheney says the Republican Party is in very bad shape. And she's totally right. The Republican Party is in awful shape for her. There is no place for Liz Cheney in the Republican Party. There is no place for the Bush dynasty in the Republican Party. We don't want it. We want new, fresh, exciting ideas. We want more DeSantis and less Cheney. We want bold leadership, not Halliburton contracts. We want the southern border secured, not Ukraine to get $56 billion. Liz Cheney, Cut 64.
Look, I think the Republican Party today is in very bad shape. And I think that we have a tremendous amount of work to do. I think it could take several election cycles.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're in terrible shape. Look, Liz Cheney being kind of the Joan of Arc of the uniparty, she's very worried there is no place for her. And she's right. Outside of suburban Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia, what is her constituency? She continues by saying she's going to do whatever she possibly can to prevent Donald Trump from running for president or becoming president again. She says that's my number one priority. Again, for someone that is always posturing about democracy, again, my least favorite term because no one understands what it actually means. It's so overused. No one understands what the demos actually means, going back to the Greek. They don't understand a republic. It is overused. What they mean is the protection of the uniparty. That's really what she's talking about. Liz Cheney says that my goal is to prevent Donald Trump from ever getting into office. Play cut 62.
I believe that Donald Trump continues to pose a very grave threat and risk to our republic. And I think that defeating him is going to require a broad and united front of Republicans, Democrats, and independents. And that's what I intend to be part of. It became very clear after Donald Trump attacked the Capitol, sent a mob to attack the Capitol, refused to accept the results of the election, refused to tell his supporters to leave the Capitol when the assault was underway, that this was a threat that we've never faced before. He crossed a line that couldn't be crossed.
Incredible. They really believe that, or do they? I don't think she does. I think deep down, if you were to give her truth serum, I think what she would really say is, oh, I know Trump wasn't that involved in January 6th, but he is a threat to my family's contracts. He is a threat to the regime my father built. That is true, Liz. That is absolutely right. The new MAGA movement doesn't think we should be spending $56 billion in Ukraine, of which Putin is only stronger, Putin is only wealthier, women and children are dying, we don't know where the weapons are. Where did that money go? Just ask Liz Cheney. She's been the chief sponsor of foreign wars and intervention. Iraq, Ukraine, Libya, her and Hillary. If you got Liz Cheney and Hillary in a room, you would not be able to tell the difference if you had a blindfold on foreign policy. They would say the exact same thing. Now, that is an interesting point, and that's a deeper point I want to explore maybe at a different time, which is, do you notice everyone who hates Donald Trump passionately has the same foreign policy? They might disagree on other things, but everyone who hates Donald Trump, just with a top-level venom, Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, they have identical foreign policy beliefs. I wonder why. Maybe because they care more about Ukraine than Wyoming. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true story of Black America. Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. The cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to the current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with Brandon Tatum, Vodi Bakum, and Chad O. Jackson. Pre-order it today at salemnow.com, watch the movie on demand, or buy the DVD on Friday, August 26th at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com. I totally agree with Adam Kinzinger. Cut 72.
But the bottom line is, I think this is sending a very strong message that this isn't your dad's Republican Party anymore. This isn't a party that's committed to truth. This is a party that's committed to conspiracy. Mark and your prior your guest had said something about, you know, people in Congress now don't really believe it. I don't think they do believe the big lie and the conspiracies. What I worry about is the next generation of people that have just been elected. They're going to be here next year. They do believe these conspiracies. That's very frightening.
You're right. This is not your father's Republican Party. This is something totally new. We care about voters. We don't want endless wars. We want the southern border secure. We care about families. We care about parents. We care about schools. We're against critical race theory. We're not here to pander to the regime or to placate special interests or lobbyists. Now, Liz Cheney went to a totally different level yesterday. She went to a new level. Liz Cheney decided in her concession speech to compare herself to Abraham Lincoln, because Jesus Christ was unavailable. Of all the characters one could compare themselves to, Liz Cheney comparing herself to Abraham Lincoln, it almost is a Babylon Bee article at this point. Nevertheless, Liz Cheney either she or some consultant or her father looked her in the eye and said, "You're female, Abe Lincoln." Play cut 57.
The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed. He saved our union, and he defined our obligation as Americans for all of history.
And by the way, the media loves it. Joe Scarborough says that the comparison to Lincoln is fitting. These people, just understand the stakes of what they're really saying. I mean, let's go a level deeper. What they are saying is they're calling you the Confederacy, okay? They're saying you are a traitor to the United States. They are saying that you might as well be led by Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee, and that you pledge fealty not to the United States of America, but to Montgomery, Alabama, or Oxford, Mississippi. That's what they think of you. This is not about Trump. They're now saying the entire Republican Party is a party of insurgents. The new narrative is, I am Lincoln. Okay, first of all, Liz Cheney. Let's just something about Abraham Lincoln. I happen to be a Lincoln fan, big time. You know who I'd love to get on is Dr. Larry Arn, just to be able to, because he's one of the top Lincoln scholars on the planet. He knows Aristotle, Lincoln, and Churchill better than anybody else. Just how dare she just pull the Lincoln card? I am Abraham Lincoln, one of the most stoic statesmen who kept our union together. Cut 67.
I will tell you the historical parallel to Lincoln's generals are fitting. Here, this is a political battle, and we've seen one Republican after another flinch, just like those Union generals, in the face of anti-democratic thinking. She just wouldn't do it.
She continued by saying that this might be the most important challenge our nation has faced since the Civil War. You can't win over voters. You lose your own primary by 38 points. What are they going to do next? The answer is they're not going away. They'll form organizations. They'll use law enforcement. Yes, a dynasty has been defeated politically. It has not been defeated with the power they still hold. They still hold a lot of cards. And the way they're talking is unbelievably irresponsible. With these Lincoln, Confederacy, Civil War type analogies, where do they they're calling us Confederates. They're calling us traitors to the United States. You know how Cheney's used to treat traitors? They waterboarded them. Cut 63.
But I think we have a tremendous amount of work to do. And certainly I am absolutely going to continue this battle. I think it's the most important thing I've ever been involved in. And I think it's certainly the most important thing, challenge that our nation has faced in recent history and maybe since the Civil War. And it's one that we must win.
A greater challenge than Guadalcanal, a greater challenge than Iwo Jima, a greater challenge than storming Normandy Beach. A greater challenge than fighting the Cold War, a greater challenge than the Great Depression, a greater challenge than the Dust Bowl, the greatest challenge since the Civil War. They used to preface it with all this other language. It's the greatest domestic thing. Now it's just the greatest challenge, more challenging than going to the moon, more challenging than the 08 financial crisis. No, the challenge in front of us is what exactly? Oh, for Cheney, this is the greatest challenge. The restoration of we the people as the sovereign, not we the politicians, that is a challenge to Cheney and a massive threat. Pull the fire alarm. DEFCON 5. You might be displaced from power. Cheney continued by saying, I won my primary by 73 points 2 years ago. What's changed, Liz Cheney? What has changed in the last 2 years? Listen carefully. What she is saying is she is saying the people of Wyoming are dumb and stupid. Again, if Liz Cheney comes in contact with a welder or a carpenter or someone in the muscular class, I think she gets very nervous and she has contempt for those people. They're so gullible. They believe the big lie. Actually, they believe a big truth, that you're a fraud. And they don't want you to represent them anymore. Play cut 61.
And here we are and you lost. How do you feel about that now? What's your response today?
Well, look, I think, you know, as we've talked about before, I won my primary by 73 percentage points 2 years ago. The path to that same victory would have been very easy. It was clear how that path would go. But that path would have required that I accept, that I embrace, that I perpetuate the big lie.
No, Liz Cheney, it actually would have required that you represent your voters. That's it. The reason they rejected you is not about the quote-unquote big lie. That's all a bunch of nonsense. You know it, and I know it. Everyone knows it. But what is even the big lie? You know what the big lie is? The big lie is somehow believing that 2020 was the safest, securest election in history. That's the big lie. The big lie is suppressing the Center for Technology and Civic Life and Zuckerberg putting $400 million in and acting as if 2,000 mules didn't exist, and how the 50 intelligence agencies said that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation you couldn't talk about on social media. That was the big lie. Okay? Now, there could be reasonable disagreements to the spectrum of which 2020 was tampered with. Of course, I am in the camp that it's been factually proven time and time again that 2020 was a highway robbery of our republic, and I've said that before. But no, what she's really saying is that I can only win elections if I indulge in my voters, if I indulge in my voters' abstractions and imaginations. Remember how Dick Cheney used to be treated? Again, I just want to reemphasize this. Liz Cheney is the darling of the media. She gets a question from Savannah Guthrie. How does that make you feel? It's very close to Barack Obama when he became president. How do you feel as president? How does it make you feel? Anytime the media, this is just kind of a good rule because I watch a lot of these people, anytime they use the word feel, it's a softball argument. You think Donald Trump ever got feel arguments? How do you feel, Mr. Trump, after January 6th? Yeah, right. SNL cut 68, Dick Cheney. This is how they used to treat Dick Cheney. Play cut 68.
From the Persian Gulf, aboard the submarine USS Louisville, Vice President Dick Cheney. Mr. Vice President.
Excellent. Actually, Tom, I'm no longer on the USS Louisville, as you can see. I'm now sitting on a 1,500-ton Tomahawk missile en route to Baghdad.
Mr. Vice President, I'm sorry, but wasn't the plan to wait until Congress debated the issue?
That was one plan. I had another plan, Tom. You don't get a pacemaker sitting around watching Anna Nicole Smith waiting for the rest of the world to join up.
That's just a small taste of how Dick Cheney used to be a mockery. They used to make fun of him at every corner. Dick Cheney shot someone in the face. They made songs about it. But now the Cheney family is lionized. They consider the Cheney family to be the bulwark of the republic. Why? Why? What is this? What's really going on here? Is there's a small, well-connected, bipartisan group of people that are terrified that the populist movement is now coming from the right. You see, they were able to stop the populist movement coming from the left, and that was a very scary movement. But in some sense, it was legit. The Bernie Sanders movement was a legitimate grassroots movement. And Bernie Sanders, being a Bolshevik communist revolutionary, he used to be anti-war, now he's pro-war. They probably blackmailed Bernie Sanders because of his wife's alleged crimes in Vermont. I almost guarantee it. But they were able to stop the movement on the left. No such movement was able to be stopped on the right. This is now a legit bottom-up movement, and it has taken over the entire Republican Party. Why did Liz Cheney lose? She rejected the local and she focused on the foreign. She rejected her duty. If she would just do a single town hall and listen to her voters, say, hey, is this something that is a top priority? Is this something that you guys want? They'd say no. But since when do oligarchies care about the consent of the governed? The entire idea of an oligarchy is at odds with representation, voting, elections. And Liz Cheney made it her campaign to go out of the way to go about and do that. Elections are moments in time. They are tests. They're a thread to make sure that we still have the promise of the consent of the governed. The neoliberal world order is now all having to go into the Democrat Party. It's all having to go into one bucket. It's all having to go in one direction. There is something new and exciting and grassroots and local and constitutional that has taken over the Republican Party. And boy, that is a long-term equation and formula for victory. Would you rather be Liz Cheney, who raises money, $14 million on a whim's end and represents no voters? Or would you rather have the party that represents voters, that has the right ideas, and the willingness to go work for it? Someone says the following. I'm not going to say whose name it is, but Charlie, Liz Cheney does not deserve your airtime. Like a serial killer, don't give her recognition. Move on. What's happening in Alaska? The problem with Alaska is we don't know. It's going to take them 2 weeks to tabulate. But look, I disagree with this. Number one, when you defeat the bad guys, you should celebrate. You should spend some time talking about what that is and the trend. It shouldn't just be a kind of a gloss over. This is a big deal. This is the Cheney dynasty. It's a former vice president. They run major parts of the Republican Party. That's huge. Liz Cheney was in leadership of the Republican Party when the House of Representatives last cycle. That's very, very big. So that's number one. Number two, though, which I think is very important, one of the reasons we're talking about this is if we do not spend appropriate time understanding the why, then how will we replicate it? And so I know some of you might see the emails like, Charlie, move on from Liz Cheney. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not just about Liz Cheney. You understand she's not going anywhere, right? There's no moving on. These people run federal law enforcement. They run big institutions. She's not gone. That's not true. Okay, I'm going to just do one take on this, and then I'm going to shift gears for about 3 minutes and admonish the establishment Republican Party and talk about if they don't get their act together, they will soon be dealt a card similar to what Liz Cheney was just dealt in Wyoming. Okay, let's go to Cut 71, which is, what's the longer Ron Klain one? Is it 71? Cut 71, Chief of Staff Ron Klain. Play Cut 71.
You know, Congresswoman Cheney and I disagree, I think, on every single issue in American politics. I don't think there's anything we agree on. But I respect enormously her commitment to democracy. I respect enormously that she took an oath of office to the Constitution and stood behind that oath instead of her commitment to one man. And I respect enormously the fact that she spoke out for the truth instead of adopting the big lie. And what we saw last night, when someone who won 73% of the vote last time and lost her primary by 40 points, only because she wouldn't bend to the will of the ultra-MAGA wing of this Republican Party and swear fealty to Donald Trump, that tells you a lot about the state of the Republican Party in this country right now, and how extreme and how devoted to Donald Trump it is. And so I do think the American people are going to have to fight for their democracy, stand up for their democracy, and make it clear where they are in the choice between the kind of extremism that the MAGA wing of the Republican Party represents and the alternatives about a constitutional system of government where not the rule of the mob, but the rule of law decides questions in our country.
Yeah, that's Ron Klain. By the way, it's MAGA, not MAGA. I know maybe some of you disagree. I'd love your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. MAGA. But anyway, actually, Don Jr. says MAGA sometimes, though, for the record. Now, what is Ron Klain talking about? Yeah, Liz Cheney and I disagree on everything. No, you don't. You agree on everything. You agree on sending aid to Ukraine. You agree on the FBI being the greatest thing ever. You agree on the CIA having unchecked authority. You agree on a porous southern border. What do you disagree on except tax policy? You're both neoliberals. You're both people that want to see the oligarchy protected. We disagree on everything in politics. They do that intentionally to make it. Fake disagreement is a tactic of the uniparty. They need to have fake disagreement so their voters don't revolt against them. They think you're so stupid that they can shadow box each other and say, oh, yes, I completely disagree. This is how the controlled opposition works. It's how the controlled opposition acts and works. We pretend like we hate each other when in reality we agree on all the big stuff. Trade, immigration, wars, social policy, all the LGBT stuff, critical race theory, all of that. They agree on all of it. I've been meaning to do this for a couple days. I need to do this right now. Okay, really quick. 2 minutes. You guys ready? Republicans slash ads in key Senate battlegrounds. I'm going to tell you right now, the Republican establishment is screwing this up massively. They're messing up a red wave coming into November. Right now, they've pulled ads in Pennsylvania. They're pulling ads in Arizona. They say, well, we just can't raise much money. Put 10 up on screen, please. We've talked about this before. And you guys, I want you to email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. You want to know one of the reasons why they can't raise money? It says right there, this was a text message sent to Trump donors a year ago. And it literally calls you a traitor. That's a year ago. But one of the reasons, you could take it off screen. I'm sure all of you have get relentless emails and text messages from the Trump consultants and the RNC. One of the reasons why the Senate Republicans can't raise money right now is they have so mistreated you, grassroots donors, and you get so many emails, so many text messages, and they're like, well, we have no money to spend because your consultants have abused the grassroots. And I'm just trying to give a warning to the Republican establishment that runs all these big groups. I'm telling you right now that if they don't get their act together and you don't listen to your donors, you don't listen to your grassroots activists, you are going to be dealt a hand very similarly to Liz Cheney. Like, oh, wow, I don't know why we lost. You're going to lose your base. You're not going to have the money to run your campaigns, to put television advertisements up. If you continue to send out text messages like that one and call your donors traitors, I know that's not Donald Trump talking. That is some consultant who should be fired immediately. Look, we're going to get outspent. There's so much I want to talk about with this topic. We just ran out of time because of the Liz Cheney stuff. So we're going to have to pick it up either in the next hour or somewhere else. But there's so many dimensions to this, such as the easy corporate money and the grassroots side of it. But the thing that angers me the most is when you, who work hard and give money, get called a traitor by some Republican consultant. It's disgusting. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.